a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12 Pack Radio. Get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12 Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news in the home. The Beta-Rank College Football Statistical Model. We are a Sharp College Football podcast, sharpcollegefootball.com. Thank you for joining us. It is week
11. It's 11. Week 11. I just typed it out in the title for this episode on YouTube. Like, week 11.
The beginning of the end of the greatest conference of all time. But we still have plenty of...
I'm not ready to say goodbye. I'm going to get like a little verklempt. Like, we're going to have to do that thing where it's like the Civil War was neither a war nor civil, like, discuss, right? Like,
that in some of the teams that I thought I was going to be feel really good about, like Washington State, just totally fell off the cliff. Holy smokes. Oregon State, right? With both those teams are in the top 25 and are looking a little
rickety. There's a lot of, Oregon State is at least like continuing to hold it together, but like particularly in advanced stats, like they're a really good football team. Washington State, there's a lot of cope right now from people that like really got on the Washington State bandwagon. What I appreciate about you is like you're not just like, oh no, I was right if we look at it in this particular light. I also try to, like, if I was wrong, like I was wrong about Johnny Manson, I was wrong about Trent Bray, like mea culpa, man. Like I was clearly wrong. But like Washington State, like they had one, like the Oregon State game was legit, but like under the hood of that Wisconsin game, like there was some smoke and mirrors with that one, right? And like Wisconsin's not that good.
The brand name, right? Like, oh, they beat the Big Ten team that has won their, you know, conference multiple times. That's the important part. Won their half of the conference. You know,
right.
It's a big difference from the actual conference. I was just shocked by what you can't lose to Stanford like that. And I think congratulations to Stanford and the coach, right? What Taylor's been able to do with that program is really impressive because no offensive line. He's basically juggling quarterbacks and they've won three games, which is way more than I thought would. I thought they'd be one of the worst Power Five teams in the country. And maybe Washington State is at this point. I don't know.
Right? I mean, the last time Stanford did something sort of good, I went out the next week and I was like, I have faith in Stanford. And Stanford then like basically walked out their door and stepped on every rake in the neighborhood the next week. Right. Like, and so like, I have accepted that Stanford is like this incredibly high variance team that is like, will put together marginally competent performances against very bad football teams. But like even Arizona had the worst game of their season. I think genuinely even were like, cause Arizona played well against Mississippi State, but turned it over five times. Arizona had a horrible game against Stanford. And yet I refuse to have any faith in the Cardinal. Right.
That's true. I I'm sorry, Oregon State fans, I kind of stomped on you real fast. It was more, number 12, which it's 7-2. I think that's still a little rough. Like, you know, them going into Arizona, I just slated Arizona to win that game. I took the points. I thought it was going to be close, and Arizona really pulled it out, so which highlights their strength in the conference. Yeah. You still have Washington undefeated, which is great. Oregon has just figured it out, man. They are stomping on everybody. There's been a couple games where I'm like, will they step off the gas? Or
There's no breaks.
They want to get there and they are willing to do whatever they need to on the field to actually do it. It's interesting because at the beginning, this is still a really good conference. And I think the teams that are good continue to improve. I think Washington's defense is still suspect, like we thought it was.
Yeah.
And teams are starting to figure out how to slow down their offense. The problem for other teams is it's just so freaking good. Those wide receivers are amazing. And Penix is the truth. So it's funny because, like, the conference is still really good. Just some of the teams have cycled through and really the results are starting to settle in where I think you do have the right teams in the right spot. What do you think about Oregon? Oregon State, because, you know, they went into Colorado, you know, kind of messed around a little bit. They were able to hold Colorado to not a lot of anything for a while. Yeah. And still the game was a little close. Like that, as we look over the what this week was and where the conference is, they are the team that stand out for me as like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like you said the advanced stats have them higher than most, you know, than like the normies do.
Yeah.
Where did they
I should say, like, they've fallen back a little bit. Like, the performance against Colorado hurt them. They were, even after the game against Arizona, they were sort of on like the sunny side of like 15. They're back at 19 in the latest beta rank run. And Arizona has, you know, peaked up ahead of them at 17. But they're, I mean, this Oregon State team is still really good. They're dangerous. I think they're dangerous enough that if, you know, like if you were talking about, you know, them against a Washington or an Oregon, right? Like if they have a bad game, like if Washington or Oregon have a bad game against Oregon State, like the Beavs could be in it, right? Like, I mean, they're good enough to take advantage. I mean, particularly like, I mean, Washington's defense really is not good. And so, like, I mean, I think the Beavs could potentially still, like, sneak up on somebody in that sense right there, where they could, like, they could, you know, like, put up some points there, I think, in particular. But, yeah, I like this Beavs team. Like, they're, like, right now, like, they'd be, an underdog to Washington and Oregon, but not by a huge, huge amount in there. I think the Beavs have a real opportunity to like play spoiler. Look, with two losses in conference already, and they haven't played Oregon and they haven't played Washington yet, I mean, it's hard to see them with like, it's hard to see them truly winning out, which is what they'd have to do, you know, in order to really have a shot. But that said, like, I mean, this is really, I mean, again, like, this is a really good team. Jonathan Smith has yet again a really good team with no receivers over 5 foot, you know, 5 foot nine, you know, and a defense that is still decent, but did take a step back, right? But the offense in particular has taken a really big step forward. The Beavs are really fun. I mean, like, but what's fun this, I mean, like, truly, like, Oregon and Washington are like, now Washington's offense worries me a little bit. And I say this is like, I say this only as I don't expect their defense to be anything more than they've been, which is a below average power five defense. Right. And so they're not going to get any better there. The offense has to be like for Washington to like, and I say, I'm not saying this is like, yes, Washington and Oregon already played. Like, I'm going to give you guys a news flash. Like, the teams that lost, like in the Big 12, which has had a round robin for years. They don't this year, but the team that lost the previous in-season matchup is 4-2 in the Big 12 championship game, right? Like head to head ain't as predictive as y'all want it to be. And yeah, Washington put up a bunch of points on Cal, and they put up a bunch of points on USC. Everybody puts up a bunch of points on those teams, right? Like, but that ASU number that they did, where they really, really stunk it up. And yeah, maybe there was some illness involved in that. And they put up points on Stanford too. I mean, but they struggled. I mean, they struggled a little bit comparatively. Like, and yeah, like you're not gonna get many. Like, when you're playing a really bad team, you know, the model is like, it's only really informative if you stink, right? Like, the model's congratulations for meeting expectations by putting up 52 on USC. Like, I know that sounds like people are like, we just blew up on USC. And it's like, yeah, you know, like, yeah. It's like we're great on a curve here, and USC is not good. So I think that like this week though is a huge opportunity for them. And I think this is true for, and look, I mean, maybe you don't care, you know, if you're a Washington fan, you just want to win. You don't care about style points or anything like that. But if you want to come into that game with a line that is fairly close out of Vegas and isn't Oregon by a touchdown, they need to play well against Utah. Like, and that's an opportunity, like, to put up points against a really good defense, like Oregon did, yeah. You know? And that's probably, like, this game, like, look, like, I mean, and we'll talk about it when we get into the matchup, but I think Washington really does have an opportunity to, like, wipe out some of the bad from that ASU game, because that ASU game was really, really bad offensively. And yeah. I want to see them. I want to see them bounce back and look like they did in the early season again. Because, like I said, like, I mean, I don't know that anybody right now in college football is hotter than Oregon right now. And yeah, they're beating bad teams, but they're beating bad teams by a lot more than you would, than anyone expected. That's the thing, is like versus expectations, Oregon is blowing the doors off.
And to go into Utah, we might not have recorded the week after, but to go into Utah and just smoke them.
That part where people are like, Oregon's only blown out bad teams. Like Oregon absolutely put Utah in a blender at Salt Lake.
And I would, to the point of, if they would have lost that game by three, I would have literally said, that's a really good game for Oregon.
Yeah.
But they went in and blew them out by like 30.
Oh, yeah. For lack of a better way to put it, like, that's the bar for Washington in a way, is like, they, like, listen, you want, like, yes, like, I mean, each team and each matchup is different, that kind of thing. But like, you need to put the screws to Utah, right? Because like, look, Oregon's going to go in there and absolutely, I mean, look, I mean, there's a chance they go in and absolutely stub their toe and have a dumb game, a truly dumb game, the way Washington did against ASU, against USC. But in all likelihood, Oregon, who runs the ball pretty darn good, is going to blow the doors off that USC defense, right? Like,
well, my thing is, Washington is USC. Like, Washington is USC's father, right? Like, USC learned all the bad lessons from their father. You know, they have the same genetic code. They can score offense, they have bad defense, but Washington is just a little older and a little bit more mature. Like, that is this Washington team. This is what Washington is, what USC, if they were to get to the playoff, could have been in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And Washington, I think, is kind of that. You know, good wide receivers, good quarterback play, bad defense, but at least they kind of figured it out. And USC,
it's like a better version. They're like I mean, at every level, at, you know, at, on offense, on defense, like, they're better, you know. But it does sort of, I mean, it's still a problem, right? Like, that Washington defense is still a problem. And it does mean that their offense has to really put up points. You know, and that's like when Washington's offense is a problem. The problem is like, versus, if Washington wants to get where they want to go, then the offense can't be very good. It has to be nearly excellent, right? Like, it has to, like, if they have to be, they have to be like, there's a big gap between even like, 'cause it's LSU and they're above that 2 mark in beta rank right now on offense, and then Oregon's close to that number 2 mark in on offense, but they're not over it. And there's a pretty big gap until you get to Michigan at number 3. Washington, there's a sizable gap, and they're at 5, right? Like, so get to where they want to go, like, that offense really has to be in the same range that Oregon's currently putting up numbers at. And that's the part where, like, I think for Washington fans is like, you know, they'll say like, oh, you know, like, we had it earlier in the season, like, you know, and I'm like, I need to see, like, after the ASU thing, I need to see you do it against somebody good. I need to see it. Like, you got to show me. And that's, I think that's reasonable.
I totally agree. And I'm fascinated, you know, if they both make it to the title game, that's a great game. I'm excited to see how it plays out. What does the model have? Are you able to pull up a projection of that?
So
I might have to tap
beta ranks got it at if you did a projected score, it would be at about 7 points. And I think there was somebody put out, like, I think FanDuel had put out like an early look line on a potential, and it was Oregon by 5.5.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's roundabouts where
I mean, like, people are like, who won? Like, I mean, college football fans are going to have to wrap their head around this one as, like, we get to more. Like, I mean, it's true, because we have this culture of like, where you never play more than once in a season, right? And so, like, you just have like eternal bragging rights and like, you're better, right? That doesn't exist in literally, like, not even in the NFL does that exist. Like, you at least have to play. You're probably going to see a team again, and no one gets that caught up in head to head. It's going to be like, it's like, fans in college football are going to have to get used to that, particularly as like the title games, they do away with divisions, you know, feeding into the title games. Like, you're more than likely to see a rematch in those cases. And that, you know, like, head to head is one data point, right? In that, you know, like, and teams may have had a bad game. I mean, like Georgia, Alabama for the title 2 years ago, right? Like,
that's right. Yeah.
You know, most like Alabama had won the earlier matchup. Georgia came in as the favorite.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to that. And that's looking like that's how it's going to shape out, unless, like you mentioned, any of the teams are going to stub their toe. Well, let's look and see what we have coming up in week 11. And some interesting games this time. Last week was weird. There's a couple like one marquee game, one interesting game, and then everything else was kind of like, you know, the dregs playing, you know, good teams or vice versa. Let's get to week 11. Let's do it right after this.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. We're talking Pac-12 football. We're talking week 11 and lots of games on. This is just a funny slate for me because bad teams are playing bad teams. Good teams are playing interesting bad teams in interesting places. And let's just start with the first one, 11 o'clock a.m. on the Pac-12 Network. Number 21, the ranked Arizona Wildcats from Tucson are going into Colorado to play the Buffs. Colorado, let's just for a moment. We got Deion throwing players under the bus. We got Deion benching, who is likely the best play caller or one of the best play callers in the conference, and then scoring like 10 points on Colorado until like the last few minutes of the game. Have you seen any of the smoke that he's saying that they got tinted windows in their house? And like somebody else tweeted like that it was tinfoil. Yeah. Like he's got tinfoil and nothing's wrong with him.
Well, I mean, demoting Sean Lewis. I mean, like that was his best hire. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was clearly his best hire. And look, they absolutely stunk it up offensively against UCLA. We didn't do the podcast list. We didn't talk about it. Like Colorado got completely shut down by that UCLA defense, but UCLA has a really good defense. Like it just kind of felt like Sanders was like overreacting to like the schedule. Like, and people do that all the time. Like they don't take strength of schedule into account. But yeah, like there's no shame. Like people often play bad against the UCLA defense. They're really good. Like they shut you down. That's okay. You have no offensive line, right? But it's like a panic move to remove Lewis, who is undoubtedly out, like and leaving Colorado after. There's no way he's hanging around.
No.
Right. It is a genuine, like, and not only that, it's going to make it harder for him to hire his next, like a good OC. Like he just made hiring good staff hard. I mean, there's like, we're not even really dealing with the game. Like it's just like, even before the game, it was such a perplexing move. I don't think anyone around college football was like, oh, that's brilliant. Like what a smart idea. Everyone was like, you did what? Like everyone's like, that was clearly the only part of this team that's really working.
He also talked about his offensive line, how basically all these players suck and we're going to need to replace them.
Right.
And it's your first year. I mean, like you have the grace already,
right?
I mean, the media's on your side, most of college, and I know that they've been a sore point for some teams, but for them or for a lot of fans, but that's more, I think, because Colorado fans and less because of like, for the most part, I thought Sanders has handled himself pretty admirably given the egos that are in the sport and given the attention.
Right.
And then he does some of this stuff. And if you just, that made me worried because I really thought that he was going to be able to hold down the fort and really build something. And that, I totally agree. That was so perplexing what he did.
Well, and saying, I mean, we have talked about it on this podcast. You cannot go to the portal and get on a new offensive line. like you just can't.
Yes.
Right. That's like right. Mm-hmm. You can go out and get your, like, it's easier to find decent skill position players than it is linemen. And it is going to be nearly impossible to go get a whole new line. Right. Or a defensive line, which they also need. Right. Like it is.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can go get some players out of it. Right. Like it's hard to build the entire plane out of transfers on the lines, right? Like there's just not that many really good linemen that end up in the portal. So I just thought, like, it was like just a totally nutty thing to say. Cause not only that, if you have anybody that's like developing, you know, cause like you can take your lumps sometimes and guys can develop, like, you know, like they take that experience that you've given them and they turn it around. Like, I mean, I think of like that year Colorado, the year before they won the South, they played all of those young freshmen at defensive back
right.
and just got torched. And then they all got torched. Stolen. They had like the worst pass defense in all of college football. and then they were good, right? Like all those guys like took a step forward. It might have taken like 2 years of development, but they turned it around and got really good. You know, those guys like learned in the fire, but those guys are going to transfer because you already said you're going to get rid of them, right? Yep. But not only that, like the other part we talked about, like, I mean, you're stuck with those dudes that transferred in already used their free transfer, all those like 50 transfers or whatever they took. Yep. They can't go anywhere.
Yeah. And if you push them out of the program and you're trying to build new transfers, like that stuff gets out, man. Like
in Colorado, you can pay. There's a rule where as long, like if they choose to finish out their degree, you can continue to pay their scholarship. Is the athletic department going to be like, oh yeah, we're cool. Just bring it. Like we'll pay 25 dudes not to play football.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Herm's first year where he made some interesting hires and he was doing some interesting things, but then he would just say these things that just aren't, it's not college football. But the thing is, Deion should know better because he's been coaching college football. So the game against Oregon State, you know, look, Oregon State didn't cover.
No.
Colorado scored 5 points into the fourth quarter and clearly missed their offensive coordinator. Again, Shedeur Sanders, if you look at the box score, it looks fine, right? He had like 250 and he was throwing to Travis Hunter and stuff. But that did not indicate what was happening in that game until the second, you know, until the very end of the game in that fourth. I'm just worried. And when you look at what Arizona was able to do against UCLA, you know, that was a big win for them.
Yeah.
And it's Tucson. It's at night again. Like
I also want to start before we go over to the Arizona one is if you look at the, like Oregon State did finish minus one on turnovers and they left points on the board. I mean, Oregon State doubled them up on yards. They didn't turn it into points. And that caught, I mean, like this was a game, like this is a game that is more defined by the Beavers' mistakes, than I think like Colorado. Like, I mean, they backdoored it. Like it was not Oregon State was cruising and just like not paying attention.
And you know what good offensive coordinators do? They do the thing they're supposed to do against the teams they're supposed to. So they rush the ball 46 times in this game, which is just now let's talk about Oregon State here. DJU this year, 58% completion rate.
Yeah.
18 touchdowns, I'm friends with a couple of Clemson fans that are like, good luck. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You know, he's going to have the line. He's going to have the coordinator. This is, I mean, it's not the meme. This is fine with a cup of coffee and the fire. Like, this is fine. Yeah. Like this is great for Oregon State. And sure. You know, that's what
they're really, I mean, like given like their offense is set up around the run game. And so he's often asked to get the ball down the field. Right. Like they're often looking for play action. They're keying off the run. They've got a good offensive line. They know they can largely protect him. you know, and he's got a freaking howitzer for an arm, right? Yeah, so smokes, like, yeah. I mean, they are absolutely like, his completion percent, like he does have, I mean, and I mean, if you were listening to this podcast, you love Pac-12 football enough, I'm assuming you don't just watch your team's games. But like he has a couple of throws a game where you're just like, wow, that was totally like, I mean, he totally just misses. Right. But if he gets his feet set and really steps into it, like he's an incredibly accurate quarterback, right? Like he can, like, because he will also have like an equal number of like, wow, what a throw, you know?
So here's a, like an alternate universe where he is in the place of Mac Jones with those wide receivers. Like that would be because those wide receivers were where they say they scheme the wide receivers wide TF open.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like, yeah. Sark was basically like, like that year, like Sark like was just like it was just stupid how much better Sark was at calling plays and designing plays than everyone else.
Yeah. I just say it'd be fascinating to see what DJU would have been in that offense, because Mac Jones got drafted and he's
bad. He's very, very bad. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's like, for like, again, like he, I think, given, because their offense right now, you know, is in a, like within beta rank, like it's in a good spot. Like, I mean, look, they're at 14 overall on offense. They were in the 40s last year, you know, like, this is Oregon State. Like they, like we talked about, they don't have a single receiver who's 6 feet tall on the field, right? Like they have a bunch of 3-star offensive linemen, if that, right? Like this is fine. Like the number 14 overall offense in all of college football, like kudos, man. Like, and that's what, like, DJU doesn't give them like a guy that is like, you know, is going to be in the Heisman conversation. But last year, they just needed somebody that could, you know, like connect the dots.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm, you know, floating back to Colorado and just looking at what Arizona did, right? Arizona 27, UCLA 10. This is at night in Tucson. And again, like I'm really interested in when the Big 12 realizes what Tucson is at night. I mean, it's basically Texas Tech. Yeah. You know, at night. So, yeah. So it's a similar vibe, but that's the truth. And like, it is very difficult to play there, particularly, Rob, if you don't have a quarterback, which is right. In the case for UCLA for all the year.
Ethan Garber's experience.
I mean, I was melting down on Twitter, like three weeks ago when Dante Moore was throwing the football, and I'm like, you can't do this. Like, I mean, Chip Kelly is a serious coach, and I don't know if he's a serious coach. You cannot leave this guy in. And then Ethan Garbers comes back, you know, and everything's relative when you're drunk and at the bar, right? You're like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And then you sober up. You're like, oh no, yeah. Ethan Garbers is the quarterback again. 157 yards. I mean, they just could not throw. They were able to run the ball a little bit,
but not a lot.
But Arizona's rush defense is better. Like that is that's a decent. It's not a great unit. It's a decent unit. And you know, we just flip it around. Like, could Arizona score on UCLA's defense? And their defense is legitimately good. And Noah Fifita, yet again, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. And of course, Arizona's going to be able to get 100 yards. That's just what they do. They have good running backs. They have good wide play. This team is good. Like, this is a really good
team. This team is good. This is the number 15 offense in beta rank. Their drive efficiency, which was their bugaboo with Delora at quarterback, because it was the YOLO offense. Like, it was all explosives, no efficiency. Their drive efficiency has really been picking up. But Fifita had a great game. I mean, a great game against Colorado. Against UCLA. I mean, like, to go in and play as well as he did, even with the interception, against a really, really good defense. And Arizona's offense came in and they were really efficient. They got things done. He was really accurate for the I mean, like, other than the pick, he was really accurate throwing the ball around. Yeah, this Arizona team is absolutely for real. I mean, like, and look, I mean, they're probably, I mean, like, depending on how this week goes for Utah, I still expect Utah to be favored.
That's a good
going
game.
Into Tucson.
Yeah.
But it's not by much. Mm-hmm. And if Utah gets the absolute doors blown off them again, it's not Utah's might come in as an underdog. But Arizona's ahead of them in advanced stats right now. Like, and look, like, Utah's defense is still really, really good. But if you're Arizona, you have to feel really good after having taken on Utah's clone brother, UCLA, and been able to handle them really well. Right. So yeah, like I like, but Arizona could be favored in all their remaining games because they've got Colorado, Utah, and ASU.
Yeah. Well, let's talk big picture before we get into the numbers, because there are some factors at play here. The first is Arizona at home is not Arizona on the road. Off historically, right? You know, obviously every year is different, but that's normally in the case. This is a team that has not been there before recently. So this is kind of the first time that they're coming in with some fanfare. They're probably going to get the attention because it's at Colorado, and they got to go at altitude to play a team that typically plays well at home. And then, you add the fact that like if Deion hadn't said anything, and if he hadn't, you know, kicked off like the best hire that he had on the team, I would absolutely jump on Colorado. Like 10.5 is right. A lot for a team that hadn't been there before. But that stuff worries me, Rob. I really think that's true. Like, they did not move the football until the end of that game. That's worrisome.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, this Arizona defense is not great. But they're in the same range as Oregon State. They're at 32 overall in beta rank right now. They're pretty good on drive efficiency. They're pretty good on explosive drives. They're very good on play efficiency. I mean, the one thing is, like, their effective rush is at 19. Now, their effective pass is starting to improve now that we get more data that's not playing Washington and then USC. You know, the really good passing offenses in the conference in there. So they're starting to improve there. And I expect, like, you know, again, like, now Colorado is going to test you through the air. They don't throw the ball, or they don't run the ball very well at all. But I actually think Arizona is going to try, I mean, get after Sanders. And, like, look, if it was still Sean Lewis, I would look at this and be like, oh, this could be a trap. Like, this could be a trap game for Arizona. Like, this has all the hallmarks of, like, you know, they've just been rolling, like, everything. It's not only just that everything's been clicking, it's been clicking more and more each week.
Yeah.
Particularly offensively. Like, they've just been clicking more and more. I don't know. I would say, like, yes, it, like, this has all the hallmarks of, like, dumb game. But without Sean Lewis calling plays, like, I'm just less confident. Like, I think Arizona is going to be able to get to Sanders, and, like, man, that kid's taken so many hits this season. That poor kid.
Yeah. I would normally do that too. The couple things give me a lot of pause. The first is, I don't think Colorado is going to run the ball. So, you know, I think Arizona is going to be able to be smart in the secondary. And I mean, Arizona's line is fine, and they have, like, this team is better than the teams that have come into Colorado and beat Colorado fairly handily. I'm worried. I'm not super confident in this. I'm going to take Arizona. I'm going to lay the 10.5.
It's up to 10.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it opened at 9. Yeah.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Yeah. That money came in real quick. On Arizona.
Yeah. Well, here's my question for you before I just want to quit. Like, how many rushing yards does Arizona have in this game?
I don't know if Fish is the guy that does that, right? Like, I think
I don't know. I mean, throwing. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I know he likes to throw the football, and with Fafita and the wide receivers that Arizona has, and Tanner McLaughlin, the tight end, they definitely. But I think they're gonna. I mean, I think they're gonna really lean into it. Like, he tried it against USC, right? Like, they kept getting that outside run against USC, right? And, like, they hit that a couple times. That's the thing. Like, Colorado's run defense is so bad. I think Arizona might lean into the run.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep a lookout for, and the other thing is, I think Sanders is a little hurt. It just seems like he's been more hobbled than he's been in the past. So you're getting an 80% Sanders against a pretty healthy Arizona team. And there's no depth on Colorado right now. If Arizona loses, it's because they haven't been there before, and that's a risk. That's a risk that you're going to have to take.
And they turn it over. Like, I mean, I can see this team stubbing their toes, but, like, they probably have to finish -2 on turnovers to lose.
Yeah, I think, and Fafita could do that on the road at altitude. Like, you know, it happens. But
yeah.
All right, give me the Cats. What are you taking?
I'm taking Arizona. Like I think the concern I was like, if Sanders is in any way slowed down and he cannot buy time, like that offense is cooked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Let's do the dumb game of the week. Let's go 1 o'clock on, this is on ESPN 2. God bless
which,
ESPN.
Which dumb game of the week? That's true.
Dumb game of the week, exhibit A. Washington State is a 1-point dog on the road against Cal. And we were talking about this, Rob, when I first looked at the line, I just thought, oh, so disrespectful. But it's right. I was probably the last person on that Washington State train, including Washington State fans, that were just really nervous.
You know, so Washington State opened as a 2-point favorite.
Yeah.
And it's flipped to Cal.
It's flipped to Cal -1.
Yeah. That makes the Beta Rank has Cal as a favorite in this game.
Oh, that's fascinating. The problem is, Where is this Washington State team? Because they scored 7 points on Stanford. Like, holy smokes.
So I talked to Hippliday about this. Stanford can cover. Like, they can't rush the passer, but their DBs ain't bad. There's some, like, Dwayne Aquina hangover on the coaching there. Mm-hmm. And that's shown up a couple times this season. But, yeah, they scored.
Oh, you can't do that. You just can't do. I mean, you can't be a serious football team and score 7 points
at home. At home.
Oh my gosh!
Like, they lost to Stanford at home and put up one touchdown.
So I'm wondering, but I haven't heard anything about this, about like the flu or, you know, like, right. Because I really do think that Washington ASU game, that was, I really do think there was some illness that was cutting through there. I know USC was sick against, I think they were also sick against ASU. So I wonder if they gave the flu to ASU or whatever.
Yeah.
But holy goodness. I mean, Cam Ward, almost 50%, you know, 241, a touchdown, a pick. This team is hurting, and they were hurting before they went in to their own house and lost to Stanford. Anything else to say about this game? I mean, like, I guess we could talk a little bit about Stanford, right? Ashton Daniels is clearly the guy. Now, he's not, he's not the guy with a capital. There's no capitals in that sentence. It is just, he is the guy with a small period. But, you know, he's been their quarterback. I mean,
AO Manor is a revelation. Like, that dude can play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the guy that lit up Colorado, right? Like, for 7,000 yards. Yeah. Which was hysterical to me. That's interesting, because I think he's a walk-on, isn't he? I don't think he's a scholarship player.
Oh, well, I mean, he will be soon. Scholarship coming to the store near you.
Yeah, that's right. EJ Smith, I don't know. The Stanford team is...
I don't understand how these... I mean, look, I understand the value of a Stanford degree. But I don't understand how some of these guys haven't transferred.
Yeah.
like these guys have like grad... like EJ Smith was like a 4-star running back. Like, he was a big get when they got him. And he's been, I mean, he's like disappeared into a black hole.
He's freaking Emmett Smith's son. Like, what?
I know. Oh my gosh,
like, he should be playing for Colorado. Oh, well, no, he shouldn't, because the offensive
line. No, he should not. Like, I mean, not sending behind a possibly worse offensive line. Like, but he should go to UCLA, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, Chip Kelly has like some white running back from the MAC that transferred.
We live in the dumbest world. meanwhile, Cal gets just absolutely like Oregon came in. Like, I don't know if you ever watched the Batman with Jack Nicholson, where he's coming on and he's like putting swirly mustaches on the Mona Lisa, and he's just like dumping all over the museum. That's what Oregon did in Cal's house. They were just.
Oh, no, this was at Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I apologize. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, metaphorically at Cal.
In Cal, yeah.
63-19. Fernando Mendoza is the guy too. They found their quarterback, but again, in low caps and in really small font, Fernando Mendoza is the quarterback there. Knott is like pretty good. I think it's fair now, right? We were kind of making fun of his numbers because he ran against Arizona, but he's consistently been able to put up yards on the ground. And Jeremiah Hunter is good. But this Cal team, like, what do we got here? Because I just don't think they're good, which means that, holy smokes, Washington State is not good if Cal's in front of them.
No, I mean, in Mendoza, I mean, like, look, Mendoza's, he's bad. he's, he's, He had a decent game against USC, and I think people were like, this is a revelation. And it was fine. You know, he was 25 of 39 first, you know, at 7.5 per, you know, in that game. And yeah, I mean, I guess he had it, like, but he has not had a good game against good competition. And look, this Oregon team right now, I said, like, they're at number one in beta rank right now. Like, they are legitimately really good. Their defense has improved. Their defense sits at 11 overall right now. They're at number two on offense in beta rank. Like, I mean, it helps that, like, the number one offensive team, LSU, just has an impossibly bad defense. But this Oregon team is legitimate. And, like, Nick's absolutely, like, in this Cal team is trouble. You know, but, like, this, I mean, Nick's absolutely lit them up. 29 of 38, 10.2 per. You know, he did have the pick. You know, and Bucky Irving got 4.9 per carry. And you know, like, without, I mean, Oregon ran the ball. It didn't feel like I think Nix was having such a big day. Like, they didn't really feel like they had to commit to it too much, I think, to run the football. But just a monster. I mean, Tez Johnson, holy moly, 12 catches, 180 yards, two TDs. Like, jeez.
Find the duck, baby. Find the duck.
I mean, truly though, like, putting that kind of a score on Cal, right? And Oregon turned the ball over twice and still put up 63 points. That's nuts.
So when we push the matchup here, you can throw on Cal, right?
Yeah.
Can you run on Cal? Well, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you can run on Cal because Washington
State can't run. So here's the thing. You can run on Wazoo. They're at 94. They're at 78 overall in defense. Their defense has really fallen off. They're at 94 in effective rush. Cal sits at 44 offensively in beta rank. They're at 27 in effective rush. They flip it around. Cal's pass defense is hideous. They're at 119. They're at 67 overall in beta rank. They're at 119 in effective pass. Washington State's at 57 in beta rank. They're at 19 in effective pass.
Yeah.
So, like, it is a matchup where both teams are going to feel pretty confident with what they want to do is going to be available.
Yeah. So, and I think the other thing here is that Washington State can stack the box. Now, will it be helpful? Like, will they effectively stack the box? No.
Is Mendoza good enough to get something if they do? I think so. I mean, at least some of the time, right? Like, Cal's at 65 in effective pass. I mean, it's not like they're like Mr. Magoo out there. And Washington State's at 53 in effective pass defensively. So, like, they're not exactly, I mean, like, their big problem is they can't stop the run, but I'm taking Cal. I think Washington State's in a tailspin. And you would think, like, it's not as if it's like lose it to Stan. Like, there were many wake up calls before they lost to Stanford.
Like, that's true.
They got absolutely massacred by Arizona at home. I mean, just got the doors blown off them. God, there's been a lot of blowouts in this conference this season. I mean, it's a great end of it for the conference, but, like, you know, for Wazoo, like, I would have expected, you know, after you lose to Arizona, you know, the first they lost to UCLA and they look completely ineffective there. I mean, they're on a 5-game losing streak, which includes losses to their last two is losing to Arizona State and Stanford. The two, honestly, and I say this, like, the two worst teams in the conference.
Yeah. And you have Cal. God, you talked me into it. I was going to be the last person waving the flag, like the actual flag that goes to game day, you
know, Old Crimson. On
the bandwagon. Yeah. I'll take Cal if they can run the ball. I mean, like, a weakness and a team in tailspin. You talked me into it.
Look, you could easily, like, Mendoza could have three interceptions in this game. Like, it could be that kind of it. But, like, if there's no turnovers, like, I like Cal. I think Ott has a huge game. I don't think Washington State can tackle him.
Oh my gosh. What, that's so gross.
And it's such a bummer because, like, I really thought, I was like, oh, Jake Dickert, like, I'm excited about him as a coach, right? And then he made the, like, I mean, they made the move they needed to make, and I thought they made a good offensive coordinator hire. And it did sort of look, at least, like, in early versions against Colorado State, that Cam Ward, like, the switch came, and then...
I wonder what... I mean, there's got to be some story to that. So, you know, this is like those times where I should pay for the 247, you know, stuff, because you're going to get some of that, like, what's going on back there? Because this team is good, too good. I mean, like, relatively for how bad they've been playing, right? Like,
I still think not only that, but like, they have, I do for the most part think the coaching staff is good. And so that's the part where I'm like, I'm just confused how this is not working. Honestly, like,
yeah.
But to be honest, like, I think Cam, like, the Cam Ward ship has sailed. Like, he's never figuring out major college football.
Yeah. Yeah. And they think, Rob, they could still go to a bowl. And they just have, and they played teams where they should, yeah, that's weird. I mean,
they should have won the last, two games. ASU beat them by 11, like, and Stanford beat them at home.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, like, I don't know. That's the thing with this, like, it's like, what's your rock bottom? Like, at what point are your friends sitting around with you and like, I think you have a problem?
That's right. It will be losing. I mean, it was the Stanford moment. Right?
Yeah.
This is the not listening to your friends and kids. Everything's going to be okay. All right, let's do one more and then we'll take a break. Let's do Stanford. The victorious Stanford that has two wins in this freaking conference, which is just incredible, is a 21-point dog. God, no, they're not going to be fair. 21-point dog on the road at Oregon State. This game's at 2:30. And we already talked about, I mean, Stanford is who they are, like, which is they can cover a little bit. They're going to be a little bit feisty. And they play an Oregon State team that I think kind of, you know, sleptwalked their way through this Colorado game. Does Oregon State have it in them just to lay the wood? Because where is Stanford on the, you know, in the metrics right now? Because they've got to be climbing a little bit. They've been competitive in multiple games now.
They have climbed up a little bit. They sit at 76 overall in beta rank. Now the line opened at 17 and it's jumped up to 21 with Oregon State. Stanford's defense sits at 79 overall. And they're terrible at drive efficiency. Like, you can absolutely put together drives against them. I mean, like we talked about, the Beavs offense, 14 overall in beta rank. They're at 13 in effective rush, 24 in effective pass. Stanford, like, even though I say like they can cover, like, their defensive line is not good. And so they are at 81 in effective pass, 74 in effective rush. You flip it around offensively, Stanford's at 87 overall, 90 in effective rush, 67 in effective pass. Oregon State's defense is at 35 overall. They are better against the run at 30 in effective rush. But as we kind of talked about, like, coming into the year with all those replacements in the secondary, they're at 52 overall in effective pass. I mean, this is an interesting one. Like, Baderank has this at 21 in the naive spread. But the naive spread, I will say, has been, because it's just based off of like a lot of prior years data, it's not caught up with the new rule changes. And it's closer to like 16 in the predicted score.
Yeah.
So this is a tough one for me, because like, I do, like, do I trust Oregon? Do I think Oregon State can run up the score? I guess is the
question. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And I don't think Stanford lays down.
No, I don't think they've shown much quit.
Well, they did against USC.
Right. Well, that's true. But they've been feeling their oats lately. Like, they've got some wins.
I'm worried, though, them on the road, right? They come off a win.
Yeah.
And then they go to quit. It's just hard to play in Corvallis. And can they run it? Because they're going to be able to run. It's just, can they hold court? I'll take the Beavs. It's tough for Stanford. I want to see Stanford throw it, and they're going to have to. I think let's kind of get our house in order. We still have the back half of the season. I think you're going to see a lot. I mean, there's probably going to be 46 rushes again in this game, and DJU is going to have play. I mean, DJU will have play action.
Yeah.
Probably all day. And I'm not a huge believer in Oregon State's defense. Like you mentioned, 35 is fine. Or if they're in the 30s, that's great. Good for that. Like that, and I mean, and that's not belittling. That's right. I'm really glad that they stayed there. I mean, obviously they were a lot higher last year, but that's a good, you know, coming down to earth point. I'll lay him. That's a tough place. I don't trust Stanford. They just came off of a win, and I think that they're going to run into a buzzsaw here against Oregon State.
It does feel like the kind of game like Oregon State doesn't lose, like doesn't do dumb things in. Like they just, but I will say like you definitely feel like the close win at Colorado, Jonathan Smith probably has their attention, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the Beavs. It's, I mean, 21 points feels like a lot for this Oregon State team against anyone. It's not that they're bad. I think they're good. I just think that, like, with the new clock rules, too, I think the game slows down a bit for them, and there can be fewer possessions. And, like that worries me with three scores with them.
Yeah.
I mean, not just three touchdowns. 17 points is still three possessions, but that's three TDs. But yeah, I'm going to take the Beavs. I think the Stanford team is still really bad, and I'm not going to believe in them.
21 is gross. That's a good line. Like 17 opening at 17 is, I mean, I am not betting this game. It is what it is. All right. We got three more games left. Two of them are just fantastic, and one of them is like giggly interesting. We'll get to them right after this. We're back. 6 p.m. on Pac-12 Network. The 2-7 Arizona State Sun Devils go into UCLA as 17-point underdogs. UCLA coming off the loss against Arizona. Arizona State kind of feisty. Now, Arizona State has nobody on offensive line. We already plugged in Ralph at the defensive line, so he can't play offensive line either. So they're going to need to pull some other guys in there. I want to believe in Arizona State. I think Kenny Dillingham has the team playing, you know, hard.
Yeah.
But man, they got so many injuries. Walk me through, like, let's take a look and see, you know, well, we already talked about UCLA playing Arizona. Arizona State just got smoked by Utah. I mean, like 55, I totally forgot about that. 55-3.
Yeah, Utah totally. Like, I mean, and that cratered ASU, like, because ASU had gotten like a bump from that Washington. I mean, this also hurt Washington's offensive score, was that ASU just got waxed. Defense, like their defense got absolutely waxed by a very bad Utah offense. And it didn't, the model wasn't like, oh, Utah's offense is actually good. The model was like, hey, actually, let's be realistic about this ASU defense. So the ASU defense is back down in the 50s. I mean, but Utah ran for 352 in this game. And that, like, look, Utah's a better offensive rushing offense in particular than UCLA is right now. And I do have significant questions about UCLA at quarterback right now because of, and with injuries too, because Garber's got hurt against Arizona. You know, who's it going to be? But you know, like Eric, like, you know, UCLA is at 43 on offense and beta rank. They're at 21 in effective rush, 77 in effective pass. Like ASU, like, this isn't a great matchup for them because they're at 51 in effective or overall in beta rank, but they're at 86 in effective rush, 25 in effective pass. Like that doesn't bode as well. You flip it around, like UCLA is still like number 10 overall in beta rank. But this ASU offense is at 99 overall. And they just played a pretty good defense and they got absolutely stoned.
They're on their like fourth. The thing that worries me too is Borke was out.
Yeah.
And they had Cam Scadabo, 12 rushes for 31 yards. And it was because they couldn't throw the ball. So I'm right. Not, you know, Scadabo's good. That just shows you like how they're down to slim pickings. And when you flip it around, UCLA can still run the ball.
Yeah.
Not as well, but right. They can. I'm worried about the quarterback play, right? Like, they're not going to be able to throw at basically at all. But Bryson Barnes threw for 4 touchdowns
in
161 yards. That's really all you need to do against this.
Like, look, this ASU secondary is not bad, but like, they have, if you can run the ball, they're screwed because they're going to have to start crowding the line.
The thing that worries me is I don't trust Chip Kelly at all.
What's the line moved up to on this?
It's 17.
Oh man. So here, you want to know, here's another fun one on this one. Both of these teams have bad kickers. So like your ability to count on field goals. And it's fun. So this opened at 14 and it did jump up. Betarank has this as a projected score of 13, like from the actual projected score, which does take into account the change in the rules and everything, as like just under that at 13.9.
Yeah. I don't trust Cal. Like the problem is, I mean, it's a good line because ASU has nobody. And so I'm worried that I take the points and then it's just, I just look out on the field and, you know,
how does ASU like, score? That's my question. Like, I mean, just,
yeah.
Where do their points come from is my big question here, because like UCLA's defense is legitimately really good. ASU doesn't have a great field goal kicking unit. Like, and I think UCLA can run the ball. That's why it's jumped up a bit, right? Like you can, like on the pure matchup, like I think that's why it's jumped up.
UCLA can run. UCLA can't pass. Can they keep it? Yeah. Where does ASU score? They don't. I mean, they don't. That's the,
no, unless, I think Latu is going to have a huge game and the Murphy twins are going to have a huge game. Like,
I mean, there could be turnovers is how this happened. I mean, this is like the Iowa offense, basically. You got to turn over some special teams and just pray, you know.
I think I'm taking UCLA. I'm going to tell you why. Not only that, but they lost last week.
I can't take all favorites, Rob. I can't take all favorites.
Do you want to go back and pick Stanford?
Yeah, I know. It's like so stupid. I just can't,
having watched this Arizona State offense absolutely take a giant steaming dump in Utah, I just have no faith in them against UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, UCLA is a quality team. They're at home. They're going to, I mean,
I'm taking the Bruins. You can make whatever choices you want. You're an adult.
I know you're right. You're right. I'm going to take UCLA. Gosh darn it. They're not going to score anything.
I just can't. I can't see. Like, I mean, look, they'll undoubtedly, like, you could not play worse than they did last week on offense. So they will undoubtedly play better. But I think UCLA is going to get up above 30 points. I cannot see ASU getting past 10.
Gosh, Chip Kelly's so dumb. All right, I'll take UCLA. I can't wait till they just get smoked in the Big Ten. They become the Maryland of the Big Ten.
That's aspirational. That's really, and they're going to be paying Cal every year still.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, let's get to the good games here. 7:30 p.m. on Fox, USC goes into Oregon as a 16.5-point underdog. Caleb Williams was crying. Now, look. They did, to their credit, they played hard against Washington.
Yeah, they did.
That and the lot, like I bet on Washington. I laid the three. I did think that there was going to be a lot of points, and I did think UCLA was going to be able to play and was actually going to bring it. And I just thought Washington was a significantly better team, and it didn't matter, and it didn't. Now they got to go play a team that has a defense. 16.5, Rob. Oregon, of course, like we just said, just did everything they needed to do against against Utah. But we didn't talk about USC and what that game was against Washington. You know, USC did drop 42 on Washington. They were able to move the football. Basically, it was what it was, right? Caleb Williams did what he needed to do. They were able to rush the football, but the defense sucks. Now, they did fire Alex Grinch finally, so that did happen. does the defense bring a little bit more here? Because they should still be able to move the ball against Oregon, but not as much as they did against Washington. I think that's the interesting part here is does USC's game defense show up to any extent, or are they even more chaotic without the court? Did you see the clip of Grinch going in? He's like, everybody come in for a high five. And you know, come in for it, and nobody did
yeah.
it. Like that was.
I mean, I don't think this USC defense is going to like make a big turnaround in these last couple of games. Like, I just don't think play calling matters. I don't think we're going to see like an immediate turn. Oregon's defense has definitely improved. But this Oregon offense is at number 2 overall in Beta Rank. They're getting the number 93 ranked defense. They're at 105 in effective rush. Oregon's at 11 in effective rush. Washington ran all over USC. Washington never runs the football. This is going to be harder. This Oregon defense sits at number 11 overall in Beta Rank. Now, they are a little more susceptible against the pass. They're at 6 in effective rush versus 21 in effective pass. And USC is at 8 in Beta Rank offensively. They're at 5 in effective pass, 39 in effective rush. They're not looking to run the ball really well. Oregon could definitely, Oregon's kryptonite defensively is still teams that can throw the football around. I mean, that's part of why I think Washington projects a little closer, even though Oregon's playing better right now. This is really tough. Because I do think that offensively, this offense is absolutely hitting on all cylinders right now. What did you say the line was at?
16.5.
So that came down. That opened at 17.
Yeah.
And Beta Rank has it at with the projected score at just over 15.
My worry, I actually want to take SC here. My worry is that Oregon treats that. Remember a few years ago when we were just hoping that USC maybe it was last year. I was just praying that USC would get to the playoffs so I could bet on Georgia because they were just going to beat the tar out of them. Right. Because A, they actually played defense.
Right.
And B, USC didn't play defense. And that was going to be a total disaster. Right. My worry is that's this game.
Yeah.
This is my opportunity just to just unload on USC. All those years of frustration of just come on guys, do it, get there. And they didn't. And this is the chance.
Well, it definitely feels like landing that Washington loss, that thing of that Michael Jordan, and I took that personally. It definitely feels like this is very personal for Oregon. And this feels like one where going into the Big Ten, I feel like they really want to send a message. Yeah. That's the main thing about this Oregon team right now is they feel very much they want to send a message to literally everyone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We should call this out. Because we call that Danton Lynn at UCLA has done a terrific job turning around that defense. Will Stein, the offensive coordinator hire that Lanning made to replace Kenny Dillingham is better. He is a better offensive coordinator than Kenny Dillingham. He has been phenomenal this season. This Oregon offense is humming. And they got him from UTSA, just an incredible OC hire. When you saw in a year where you saw Nick Saban misfire and his offensive coordinator hire, I think you can argue that Notre Dame misfired on theirs. Clemson misfired on their offensive coordinator hire. And Oregon, Dan Lanning, for all the criticism he's gotten for being inexperienced and all that, he's made two really good offensive coordinator hires in a row.
Yeah. No, you're right. On the, on this, because there's a world. Okay.
It feels crazy, though, to say, because on the other side of that is still Caleb Williams, who is still. He has no support around him compared to last season, comparatively. But he is still the best player in college football. He is.
We saw what happened against USC when he actually got pressure.
Yeah.
When a good defense
yeah.
was basically we're going to play man because your wide receivers aren't that good, and we're going to just pressure you and do something. And he didn't do anything. Now, I don't think he's going to throw 3 picks in this game. But my worry is, it's all the things that I talked about the playoff game. And then it's a team that could be on meltdown going into Autzen against a fan base and a coaching staff that's like, F these guys. Like, we're gonna win this game.
Oh no, this game is circled for Oregon. Like, Oregon yes, Oregon absolutely wants to send a message in this game. Not only that, because USC just played Washington, you know, and so like Oregon is absolutely has that number that Washington won by circled, and they're gonna want to beat that number. It is like the only thing that gives me pause is Oregon's pass defense is leaky, and it is Caleb Williams. We've talked about this. The wide receivers aren't as good as they were last season, which is weird because like all of them are at least 4-star. I mean, like the only one that's not a 4-star is Dorian Singer, and he was legitimately lights out at Arizona. Like, he was legitimately really good. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it feels, like I said, it feels bonkers. And you, even with the number coming down, like you could tell, like, now there wasn't a lot. The number only moving by a half point isn't a lot. But the fact that it came down tells you, like, a lot of sharp bettors think that number is a little high. But still, like, I feel like I want to take the Ducks because I just, like, I wonder, like, I don't see this as being one where, like, USC's motivation suddenly improves because they're like, oh, man, we got Alex Grinch fired or something like that, right? Or, like, they come out with, like, they don't have a bye week, like, to implement a lot of changes, like, or anything like that. Like, it's going to be, like, and their defense is bad, and the Ducks' offense is just rolling. I'm going to take the Ducks, too, even though it feels nuts.
Yeah, it feels like you were walking. But, I mean, there's times like this where it's just, the line is there and you're walking into it and you're like, I know what Vegas is doing, but like, I also know this conference and I don't think they're doing this enough.
Right. No, this is one of those ones. Like, you just like Lanning's going to like, they're going to be up by like 10 at halftime and Lanning's going to give some like, you know, bury their asses like halftime speech and they will.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, we're both taking SC. Last game, 12:30 p.m., game of the week on Fox. The game of the week in the Pac-12. Utah, number 18, is a 9.5-point dog on the road. I've gotten all these right this for the first time, probably. I cleared the deck. Didn't get the dog in the favorites. is a 9.5-point dog on the road in Seattle against Washington. I mean, we know what this Utah team is. And we know what this Washington, I mean, like, is there anything to say on you? Like, I mean, the 55 that they scored against ASU, I mean, this is why I'm feeling better about my UCLA pick.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I don't think there's really much you can say. Like, we know what this offense is. They have an interesting running game that isn't great, but it's good.
Right.
And they have Bryson Barnes, and they don't, and that's it. That's what they have.
Right.
How many points did they score against Washington?
Oh, so here's where it gets interesting. So, look, this is, I mean, Utah's down at 21 in beta rank right now. You know, this Washington team sits at number 10 overall. Offensively, Washington's at 5. They're a little less than 80% of where LSU, who's number 1, is. But they're at 101 in effective rush, number 1 in effective pass. But this Utah defense is number 5 overall in beta rank. They're really good. They're really good at containing big plays. They're at number 16 overall in explosive drives. They're number 1 in negative drives, forcing 3 and outs, forcing turnovers. They're at 5 in effective rush. That's a little less of a worry here if you're Washington. Number 11 in effective pass. So I think, like, we've talked about this. I think Utah's pass defense, like their actual coverage, is still a little suspect. But their pass rush is so much better than it was the last couple seasons. Like, Jonah Ellis is legit. And this pass rush, even with the injuries that they've had, is really, really good. But you flip it around, this Washington defense is at number 45 overall in beta rank, 49 in effective rush, 48 in effective pass. They're only at 103 in negative drives, not forcing nearly enough three and outs or turnovers or bad things on the offense. We talked a little bit about their pass rush has been really underwhelming this season. This Utah offense is at number 49 overall in beta rank. They're at 12 in effective rush, 105 in effective pass. I struggle with this one. I like the Utes. In this game, not because, like, I think Washington is a really, really good football team. I just think that this defense is really good for Utah. And I think they're going to be able to run the ball enough.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be able to get pressure on Penix. They have not Washington has not played a defense this good by a long shot. And it has this much discipline and has this good of a DC. That's my problem. I think this matchup, like, I think Washington wins. What did you say? It opened at 9?
It's at 9.5.
So it's come up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I like Bedarank has this one both in the predicted score, which is at about 7 for Washington, and then the naive spread's about 3. Wait, that's reversed. Like the predicted score is about almost 4 points, a little over 3. And then it's about 7 in the naive spread. I think this Utah defense is really, really good. And I think that Penix is actually going to get hit a couple times in this game. Like they have a much better pass rush and much better front 7, even with the injuries, than Oregon does.
It makes sense.
Now you could flip it around and easily say, look, if they can handle the pass rush, I think they could maybe carve up the defense too, because I do think that Utah's pass rush is making up for some sins on the back end still.
Yeah, I think so too. I just don't think they are. I think Utah's going to be able to run the football. This is not the Oregon defense.
No.
And I really do trust the coaching staff to be able to at least to stop as much as they can in the pass, in the secondary.
I'm not impressed with Washington's defensive coaching. I got to be honest. Like, they're still on the wrong side. I mean, they're on the wrong side of the middle of the road of a Power 5 defense. They're at 45 overall. There are teams in the Pac-12 who have far less talent that have better defenses than this.
I think there's a world where Utah wins this game. Right, like 10.5.
Utah finishes on the, like, this could be a Kyle Whittingham special. Like the old, like, as we all remember, the old Kyle Whittingham before he hired Andy Ludwig and found a quarterback where they didn't have an offense and they would slow the game down to stupid levels. And they would run the football and they would force you to have some turnovers and they would kick some field goals and they would waltz out with a win. And you'd be like, how did that happen?
This game is the shoddy diner that you grew up in. And you just feel really comfortable. Like, that old musky smell give me those bad French toast slices. Like that is this game for Kyle Whittingham, where he's, it's not where he used to be, but it's where he's comfortable being. And
yeah.
It's funny because I was going to take Washington. I was looking at, there's got to be a dog that I can't just take all favorites. And I wanted to take Utah, and then you wanted to take Utah, which makes me sad because I'm picking the same games you're making. We need a third person here to either
talk us out of it. Like, but this week feels like, and it's probably like a total trap, but like this week feels like some of these are obvious, right? You're just like, I mean, like you could go back and take Wazoo if you want. I cannot pick a team that's lost 5 straight and just lost to ASU and Stanford, right?
No, the one is Oregon. I mean, there could be some trip up ones here, right? Like, and we mentioned them, and I'm just taking them anyway. It could be Stanford, right? 21 is a lot for anybody, right? And then Arizona on the road, right? You haven't been there before, but Colorado is just kind of falling apart internally, I think. So, and they fired. Yeah, I'll take Utah. I do think Utah can cover. I think there's a chance where they win, because this could be one of those games where, like, look, Washington has some flaws, and I think Utah can show them if they can stop them, and they have that defense is so good.
And I think Vaki's going to run. I mean, I think he's going to run well in this game. Like, he's opened things up for them. And this Washington defense still isn't, like we talked about, it's just not great. Like, it's not good enough. And, like, look, Washington, like, if Washington's going to beat this line, the offense has to show up big time, right? Like, they have to be the team that, put 63 on Cal, type of thing, right? Like, they've got to have that kind of scoring efficiency in this game. And I'm not saying like put 63 on Utah, but like Oregon put a whipping on Utah. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and Washington's gonna have, like, I think Washington, like, and again, like, matchups are always interesting. Like, I think because of Oregon's pass defense being a little further back, like, that does make Washington a bit more of a problematic matchup for Oregon than Utah is, certainly. But this is a really good, this Utah defense is still really good. Even after getting waxed by Oregon, like, there's, this is still a really good defense. That's what, like, I mean, Washington hasn't really faced anybody. Like, other than that Oregon defense, and they had a good game there, but, like, other than the Oregon, they haven't really faced anybody that good. This will be the first time they're getting somebody in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. I like the, all the, like, this game is going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just really interested so much to fun. See. And oh man, it's going to be a little wet and a little cold up here. It's going to get a little nippy up here in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, Washington's used to it too, but yes, there's going to be some rain. It's going to be a little ugly.
You remember that game a couple of years? Was it like 2019 where, like, or maybe it was like where, I mean, I think Washington won the game and it was just like the ugliest football game you could ever imagine. It was at Utah. And I think Utah, I mean, Utah, I thought Jake Browning was going to die. Like, they hit him so, so many times.
Utah at home. The one thing is Utah at home
is totally different animal. That is like that. If there's one thing that gives me significant trepidation here, it is taking Utah on the road.
Yeah. This is the first year where I've been in and out just because I've been traveling and had some family stuff I need to take care of. So I haven't made all the picks, but, like, I'm under 50% for the first year of this conference, like, ever. And that makes me really sad. So if you're betting along with us, like, you know, be wary, at least on my end. It's I've had a couple of good weeks and then I fell back to earth a couple of weeks ago. And then I didn't make my picks last week because we didn't record. But I think we did a decent breakdown of what could happen in these games.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, it's not the amount of money you win this year. It's the friends you made along the way, which hasn't been the case in previous iterations.
Which is like a good send off for the Pac-12. Like, it is the friends we've made along the way, or the enemies in some cases. Right. I mean, there are definitely some people out there that like we were talking about, like, I had tweeted out before the season started, I was like, I don't think, like, somebody had tweeted out that Washington had an elite pass rush, and I was like, I don't think that's the case. And I got, like, a lot of hell from Washington fans in the off season about how, like, they had this, like I got lectured in monosyllables by people in purple. And I just like to be clear, you were all dead wrong. You were all completely 100% could not have been more wrong.
Like, I want screenshots of this. If Utah wins, right? This
Utah
screenshots.
I'm not picking, to be clear, I'm not picking Utah to win. I just think 9 is too rich. Like, I think Washington wins by a field goal.
It's like the one Cal fan that got on us because,
oh my God,
he thought some random tight, like a second string tight end was going to be the truth. And, like, he didn't show up to get,
the worst thing. And we will always have these moments is like when you're doing the previews and there is somebody that's like, and you catch more of this hell than I do, but there's somebody that's like convinced that some like random dude that got some publicity, like they like some like had a good practice and then the beat writer wrote about and they're like, no, this guy's gonna blow up, right? And you're like, yeah. And then you never hear from them. Like, they literally, like, they're like, I always remember, like, unless everybody is like talking about them in like an absolute groundswell, like, of like, right, like, oh no, this guy's gonna break out, Do not ever fall for guys that get mentioned by beat writers in spring.
That was the interesting thing about Bill Norton, and he's been an interesting piece of Arizona's defense. There wasn't a lot of smoke about him, right? Like, he was pretty quiet. He's really been good. He's been a big key piece to that. There's been some other players like that too, where you just go, to the groundswell portion, and, you know, talking about Washington, like, Tui Latui Gassanoa has always been, he's been like an anchor of that line. He hasn't been, you know, he'll probably get drafted and he's been a good mainstay there, but everybody was basically like, yeah, this guy's good. You know, and when everybody says that, they weren't saying like this guy's going to be, all everything. So yeah, I like that where you have multiple writers, right. And multiple people.
Yeah. Where it's like, not like this guy's going to start or get significant playing time. And like, he's like going to force his way into the lineup. Not like, oh, he's like, Yes, like I've had that many times. Like, and I have fallen for that earlier in my career.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, I've been there too. I got you. Well, let's hang it up here, Rob. Week 11 in the books, at least predictive wise. We will see how they play on the field. 12 Pack Radio, and you can find Rob on Twitter, sharpcollegefootball.com. Are you doing the Saturday 6?
I am. I have yet to pick out which games I'm doing. I've been so busy with work, but I got to do that tomorrow.
Do Washington State Cal. Just throw everybody for a loop.
I can't. I cannot. There are some bad games this week, but I'm not doing that one. We finally get to see Michigan against somebody good, like with the suspension, like or pending suspension, maybe. We'll see. We might find that out tomorrow. Wow.
Okay, yeah, we'll keep a look on that. But yeah. Really fascinating to see what that looks like. SharpCollegeFootball.com. The natives are getting restless here at the Conger family. We'll talk to everybody next week.